Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Wishing all mothers a happy Mother's Day. Today, we'll be going back to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, and see how God was working through mothers to save his people. And as we move along, we'll consider a few questions which I hope will help us in our parenting journeys. Before we begin, let us pray. Loving God, help us to hear your holy word, that we may truly understand and believe and follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. When my daughter was younger, she had an interesting way of thinking. She believed that if she couldn't see me, then I couldn't see her. If she couldn't see me, then I couldn't see her. And it's not unusual for children to think this way. And you can imagine how hide and seek would go. When she grew a little older, this belief that if she couldn't see me meant that I couldn't see her showed up in different ways. At bedtime, after reading a Bible story to her, I would put her to sleep. She would lie down and close her eyes, and I get up and I switch off the lights in her room and I leave. But I know my daughter. A short while later, I quietly enter her room and stand next to her bed. And what is she doing? She's happily sitting up and playing in the dark, thinking that I don't know what she's doing. Sometimes we are also like this with God. When we can't see God, we may think that God can't see us. Day to day, we may not realize God's eyes on us as we speak to our children, or even when we encounter struggles and heartaches, we may wonder where God is. After years of slavery, the children of Israel started to wonder where God was. In the beginning of Exodus, it appeared that God was missing. God is not mentioned to be directly acting in the really bad situation they were in. The Egyptians oppressed the people of Israel living with them, making them work as slaves for them. But the more the Israelites were oppressed, the more they multiplied. Pharaoh commanded the Hebrew midwives to kill the baby boys they delivered. But because the midwives, Shipra and Puah, feared God more than Pharaoh, they defied Pharaoh's order, saving the male babies. Even after that, Pharaoh didn't give up. He commanded all his people to do the killing. Exodus 1 verse 22 reads, "Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, 'Every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live.'" It was in this hostile environment that Moses was born. And it's amazing that despite all the oppression and hardship, the Bible emphasized that the people did not stop having children. In fact, the more hardship they faced, the more children they had. It's repeatedly mentioned that in this period, they continued multiplying. Even in oppression and hardship, the promise of God to Abraham to make his descendants as many as the stars in the sky continued to be fulfilled. Nothing can stop the promises of God. Even in this hostile environment, the children of Israel continued to hold on to God's promises to have children in faith. Today, many people think differently. Our Deputy Prime Minister, Mr. Gan Kim Yong, has announced that our country is facing an existential challenge as Singapore's fertility rate drops to a historic low of 0.87, which means for every 100 residents today, they will have just 44 children and 19 grandchildren. Some people may ask, why bring children into this cruel world? They factor in the financial cost of having children, the loss of personal freedom, the environmental impact of human consumption, or even their own mental and emotional struggles, causing them to feel incapable of parenting. These are just some reasons why people are choosing not to have children, even if they could. However, such reasons omit God from the equation. An online news media outlet addressed the falling birth rate, observing that at its core, having children is an act of hope, an affirmation that the future is worth showing up for. If this is true, how should Christians feel about having children? While we shouldn't take the decision to enter into parenthood lightly, we need to realize that in every environment, God still sees us and God still knows what He's doing. And our thoughts about having children should factor God in. In the hostile environment of Exodus, the people of Israel continued to bear children and to multiply. And next, we will see what one mother did to preserve her son's life in a time of great danger. Exodus 2, verses 2 to 3 reads, "The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank." Here, the mother of Moses tried to preserve his life. From other parts of the Bible, we find that her name was Jochebed, which means Yahweh is glorious. Verse 2 says that as a mother, Jochebed saw that her child was a fine child. Douglas Stewart in the New American Commentary describes that the Hebrew idiom used here means to care about, to be fond of, or to want to have or to keep. The verse is then better translated, "She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Longing to have or to keep him, she hid him for 3 months." This idiom also occurs in Genesis, describing what God said when He made the earth in Genesis 1. After each instance of creating, the Bible says, "And God saw that it was good." Like God, who admired His creation, Jochebed saw that her son was good. And because she saw that her son was good, she longed to have or to keep him safe. When we look at our children, do we see them in this way? Perhaps when they were babies, we may have seen the good, the cuteness, the wonder of new life. But as they grow older, we may sometimes see only their transgressions, their defiance, and mistakes. As I reflected on how Jochebed saw her son, I also considered how I see my own children. When I first saw them after they were born, the motherly feeling of love didn't come immediately. But I decided to love them the way God loves me because He has given them to me to steward. It's harder to see them in a good light when they misbehave or refuse to listen. Sometimes they do things which upset my husband and I. We explain things to them and they understand why it's wrong, but they still do it anyway. It can be frustrating. We could just assume that they are just bad, or maybe they are doing these things just to get our attention or to make us upset. But is this really the case? Rather than becoming angry straight away, it takes more effort to pause, to try and understand the child, why they do what they do. I'm not saying to give in to our children's every demand, but in my experience, when we see them with God's patience, then connection can come before correction. From last week's passage on Matthew 18, we learned that Jesus values little children, so much so that He even identifies with them in verse 5, that how we receive a child is how we receive him. Jesus deserves all the honor and respect we can give to him. With this in mind, the way that we talk to them, the way that we treat them, will be with the understanding that God is watching us. In our parenting, God sees and God knows. Jochebed saw her son as God saw his creation, and this moved her to act to preserving his life. We can imagine how she would have felt. As a mother, the joy of giving birth to new life was now mixed with despair. Despair that the son she was holding in her arms was now in danger because of his gender. Despair that things were not entirely in her control. That at any time, her neighbors may report her to the soldiers, and Pharaoh's soldiers would come and kill her son. For 3 months after he was born, she tried to hide him the best she could. But after 3 months, her son had grown. He was likely not sleeping as much. Maybe he was crying more. So what did Jochebed do? She made a waterproof basket for her son and placed him in the river Nile, the same place where the Egyptians were commanded to cast the Hebrew male children to drown them. Was she ironically obeying Pharaoh's command by casting her son into the river? Why did she do this? In the house, the crying of her son would have attracted attention. But at the riverbank, among the reeds close to the shore, it was an open area. The sound of the flowing water could hide her baby boy as he slept in the waterproof basket she had carefully prepared for him. The word translated basket in the ESV is the same word used in Genesis for the ark which preserved Noah and his family. Just as God preserved Noah and his family through the flood waters meant to destroy life, so Jochebed put baby Moses into a tiny ark to preserve his life in the same place which was supposed to destroy him. Even then, she didn't abandon him. How do we know? Because the baby boy's sister, who we know later on as Miriam, kept watch over him. As biblical scholar J.G. Jensen writes about her actions, he states that this is a desperate commitment of the child into God's hands when all her resources are at an end. The Bible commends Jochebed and her husband for doing their best to preserve their son's life. Hebrews 11 verse 23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict." So we see that whenever we can, as mothers and fathers, we should seek our children's well-being and protect them as best as we can. From bullying to coping with stress or encountering circumstances we may not be able to prevent, the task of protecting our children may seem endless and insurmountable. We can and we should work on our own mental, emotional, and spiritual issues to make sure that we are emotionally and spiritually healthy to guide our children through life. We can read up on the best child psychology and parenting strategies. We can even send our children for self-defense classes and swimming classes to try and protect them from bullying and drowning. But all parents are limited human beings, and eventually, we will reach the end of ourselves. What happened when Jochebed reached the end of herself to protect her son? Exodus 2, verses 5 to 6 reads, "Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby boy was crying. She took pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' The daughter of Pharaoh saw the crying baby and had pity on him. She knew that her father had commanded him to be killed. But when she saw the vulnerable child, she showed him mercy. In the most unlikely of circumstances, God used the pagan woman, the daughter of the enemy, to preserve the life of Moses. Even though Moses was not birthed by her, Pharaoh's daughter showed maternal care for Moses when she saw him. When his birth family was unable to continue caring for him after a certain point, God provided a safe place for Moses under the care of Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter, who disobeyed her father's edict because she showed pity on the baby boy she saw. And sometimes, when we come to the end of ourselves, when what we have is not enough, God may send another to come alongside our children. It may be a church friend, a mentor, a teacher, or a caring auntie or uncle who checks in with our children. As we pray for our children, let us also pray for God to bring these people into our children's lives, because bringing up children in the way of the Lord is the work of the whole church. As we read about the rescue of Moses, we can't help but see God's hand in it, even if God is not described to be directly acting in the situation. How else could Pharaoh's daughter appear at the exact time and place where baby Moses was drifting on the river Nile? How else could she have been moved to show compassion on him when she saw him? Only God could have orchestrated such an outcome, that despite Jochebed's limitations to protect her son, she ended up being paid to take care of him. And she cared for him for at least 3 to 4 years, until he was weaned and she taught him who he was. Because even though he grew up as the son of the princess in the palace, Moses never forgot who he was, that he was a Hebrew and not an Egyptian, that he was part of the people of God. And we can deduce that it's probably because Jochebed taught him who he was during the time she had with him. However, what should we do when, after we've tried our best at parenting, our children don't turn out the way we hope? After Moses was rescued from the waters, what did he do when he grew up? Exodus 2 verse 11 says, "One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand." Verse 15, "When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." How would Pharaoh's daughter have felt hearing that the Hebrew boy she saved from death and who she brought up in her own home, instead of showing gratitude, he became a murderer and killed one of her own people? How would Jochebed have felt hearing this news, that the son whom she thought was safe in the palace had now become a fugitive and his life being threatened again? Did God's deliverance of her son fail in the end? In the account of Moses, we see God's story taking decades to unfold. It took many years before we read of Moses in front of the burning bush, speaking with God, and eventually becoming Israel's deliverer to bring them out of Egypt. Even when things look bad, can we still trust that God sees and God knows? That God is still working, even if we can't see him? Exodus 2 verse 23 reads, "During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. By the end of chapter 2, the intensity of the people's oppression became so great that they cried out for help. The verse doesn't say that they cried to God for help. To those who are suffering, God may appear hidden or absent. But even so, their cry came up to God. Verses 24 to 25. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Over here, the emphasis is placed on the person of God. The person of God is mentioned 4 times. God heard, God remembered, God saw, and God knew. And we know that God didn't just see them here at the end of chapter 2. But from the beginning of the chapter, God had already prepared a deliverer for the children of Israel. From beginning to the end, only God knows the full story of our lives. Only God knows why things are happening the way they are. When things aren't looking the way we hoped for with our children, when we've done all we can and things are still out of our hands, trust that God still sees and he knows what he's doing. In conclusion, I want to share an incident which happened a few years ago. When my daughter was in preschool, one night, she was coughing badly. She woke up coughing as if she couldn't breathe. I quickly woke my husband up. My husband and I are healthcare professionals, so most childhood illnesses don't cause us anxiety. Most of the time, we know how to handle it ourselves when our children fall sick. But when he heard her cough, he immediately brought her to the hospital. While I stayed at home with my son, who was sleeping, there was nothing I could do but to pray. The thought that something was wrong with her, the fact that I didn't know what was wrong with her, was scary. They came home after 2.5 hours, and it turned out that her scary-sounding cough was the result of croup, a viral infection of the larynx or the throat, which could be treated with medicine. And thankfully, it wasn't serious. But that was a scary night. And I'm thankful that in times of anxiety, when things look bad and are out of our control, when we can't see God in our situation, we can still trust that God sees and God knows. And he is the good parent who cares for us and our children. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, you see us and you know our every struggle. Help us to see our children the way you see them, that you love them much more than we can ever love them. Give us the grace and wisdom to do what is needed and to trust that you are with us through it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.